Thanks to Alfred and Nancy in Red Lodge, Montana, we're only 8 members short of our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program. Find out about benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Please help us reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by this Sunday, November the 6th. One of the biggest issues in American theology still today, and has been for at least probably 200 years, is the issue of the church. We would call it ecclesiology, but what the church is. And a lot of what you see by way of differences among churches in America are based really upon different assumptions about what the church is. If you think the church is a mere human institution that can be invented and reinvented with every passing generation, you will have a church that is very different in its theology than one where you believe the church is a divine institution and isn't changed by the whims of man or culture. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 2nd. We're going to be concluding our series on C.F.W. Walther, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, with two conversations in this first hour. First with Dr. John Wohlrabi, and a little bit later with Dr. Thomas Mann Teufel. We'll talk about Luther and other Lutheran theologians on church and ministry, and then Walther versus Higher Criticism with Dr. Mann Teufel. In the second hour of the program, part 5 of our 6-part series on biblical chronology, we will pin down a date for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. John Wohlrabi is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Geneseo, Illinois, and he's second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Wohlrabi, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to talk to you.
Why were Lutherans in America, and it wasn't only America, it was also Germany, but why were Lutherans in the 19th century debating the issue of church and ministry?
Well, in America, it was a matter of establishing the church and then also the ministry apart from the state, because it was a state church, and pastors were appointed either directly by the prince or by a consistory appointed by the prince. And so when they came to America, you had a separation of church and state. But the controversy or discussion was already going on in Germany, because students of Friedrich Schleiermacher, particularly a guy by the name of Roth, had put forward ideas that the church was basically a development of people who wanted to gather together like-minded people, and that the ministry developed out of this church or this gathering and was basically a human development. And so others responded, including theologians from Erlangen, Friedrich Stahl, A.F.C. Vilmar, and then Wilhelm Lea, in response to this very low view of the church and the ministry. And that continued on here in America as well.
Now, some might think that with a foil like Friedrich Schleiermacher, who had that very low view of church and ministry, basically a human contrivance is what
Correct.
He said it was, both church and ministry, which is a view actually rather popular nowadays in, on the American scene. One might think with a foil like that, that the Lutherans would be more or less united in their response to it. What were the differences between Walther and Lea and the other 19th century Lutheran theologians over church and ministry? Take them one at a time, if you would.
In some ways, it was an argument or disagreement of which came first. You know, kind of the chicken or the egg discussion. Which came first, the church or the ministry, with those that held a low view, which included Roth, and then a little bit higher view, but also low, was a guy by the name of Haefling. They held that that the church came first and the ministry was developed out of the church, out of the Hayfling was not a higher critic and as much involved with Schleiermacher as Roth was, but Hayfling said that the ministry developed out of the priesthood of all believers, and so it is a human development. The response, of course, would be from those who held a very high view, Stahl, Vilmar, Leah, and then Grabau here in America, that the ministry came first. It was instituted by Christ. You do not have a church unless you have the ministry, and the church is subject or under the ministry. Walther tried to hold a mediating position between the two without saying which came first. Both are instituted by Christ. Both are established by Christ. Whereas Hayfling would say that the priesthood of all believers establishes the ministry, and the ministry is instituted only in its function, but not in its office. Walther maintained that the church is established and the office of the ministry is established by Christ as distinct, and yet the office is extended or issued by God through the priesthood of all believers or the gathering of believers around word and sacrament in a local setting, local congregation.
So on the one side, you had those who said God instituted the office of the ministry, and from the ministry, the church, not entirely as a human contrivance, but that the church springs from the office of the ministry. On the other side, you had those who said, no, the only thing God has established is the church in the priesthood of all believers, and the ministry, that is the pastoral office, develops from that. And Walther said, no, both the church and the ministry are divine institutions.
Yes, it's a both and. Those also that held a high view believed that the ministry was self-perpetuating and that this took place through ordination, through the laying on of hands, going all the way back to the apostles. And so even though they didn't hold to an apostolic succession per se, as you'd find in the Roman Catholic Church or in the Anglican Episcopal Church, you did have this self-perpetuating of the ministry back to the apostles by way of laying on of hands. Walther maintained that the actual office of the ministry came through the call of the congregation and that ordination was a good apostolic practice, but it did not convey the office. And he held that because if somewhere along the line the chain was broken, how could you be sure that you actually have the office of the ministry? So if somebody did not have a proper ordination somewhere along the line, anybody after that would not have the proper office of the ministry. So if the office depends upon the call that God issues through the congregation, through a priesthood of all believers, then you can be sure you have the ministry. And ordination is only the proper recognition of that call.
Was Walther being kind of the typical compromising church bureaucrat that just wanted to find peace between the two positions, or did he have solid scriptural and, in terms of the Lutheran confessions, foundation for this mediating position, as you called it?
I believe he most certainly did. He, because of the situation, was forced into wrestling with this because they had come over here following Martin Stephan and based their whole concept of the church and ministry upon him as the bishop. And so after they had rowed him across the Mississippi River and dropped him off on the Illinois side, they went through a long period of upheaval, and Walther also went into a depression. He was forced into scripture, the confessions, Martin Luther. The thing is, we know that Christ instituted the office through the apostles and gave them the authority, but he also clearly gave that same authority, the office of the keys, to the church. There's a mention of both, Matthew 18 to the church, Matthew 16 to Peter, and then also in John, I believe, 20 to all the disciples. And so it's given both to the church, the office of the keys, and to the pastoral office. The pastoral office is part of the church. They're connected. And that's articulated in our confessions through Article 5 and Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession. Article 5 talks about the office in conjunction with its function, that in order that this the faith in Christ can be given and fostered, the word is to be preached and the sacraments are to be administered. But then also, nobody is to do that, and Article 14 comes along and says nobody is to do that unless they are rightly called. So you have both the office and the function set forth, and then how does that take place? Since this is given both to the church and to the office, but Scripture doesn't place one over the other, Walther maintained they stand side by side. But since he's ascended into heaven, he issues this call through the church. So it's not immediate like it was with the apostles, but it's mediated through the church.
He had an analogy that he used, and the German term that he used was it's something like conference or handing over, Übertragen's Lehre.
Übertragen.
And yes. The analogy was of a husband, a wife, and a steward, or a kind of a doorkeeper. Tell us about that analogy.
Well, Walther believed that the authority comes from God, but is conferred through means. It doesn't just come right out of the sky. And the pastor is a steward and in a position of being a servant, if you will, like that analogy. And so the pastor isn't lord over the church, but is a servant to the church, to the household of God. And this is really counter or against what Grabau had said, where the pastor is to be obeyed in all things not forbidden in Scripture. Walther and the other Saxons said the pastor is to be obeyed only in that he declares the Word of God, and other things are decided by the congregation and the priesthood of all believers.
Well, when we come back, we'll take up the subject of Wilhelm Lea, who is conducting this debate long distance with Walther. How did the two men differ on this issue of church and ministry?
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. John Wohlrabi, Second Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is our guest. We're concluding our series on CFW Walther with this conversation and one coming up here in just a minute with Dr. Thomas Manteuffel. Let's talk about Wilhelm Lea, who had to conduct this debate long distance from Germany. How did he and Walther differ on this subject of church and ministry?
Well, Lea, particularly maintaining that the office is self-perpetuating, that ordination is not merely an apostolic practice, but is divinely mandated, and that the office is conferred through the laying on of hands and not through the call of the congregation. Unfortunately, Lea couldn't come over here to America. Walther and Winneken went over to Germany, met with Lea. They did not reach full agreement, but Walther didn't believe that that was an issue that would break fellowship, and also wanted to continue the discussion. And he preferred that it be a personal face-to-face. But there were other issues going on. Lea was upset that the Missouri Synod got control of his Fort Wayne Seminary, and he was getting ready to start a teacher's seminary. And at first, they were talking about Illinois. They ended up establishing it in Michigan, up in the Saginaw area. And by this time, Walther was no longer president of the Missouri Synod. Winneken was. The leaders that Lea had sent over to help establish this school held strongly to his view of the ministry. They got into disagreements with the other pastors that were already up there in Michigan. And then Winneken went up there to talk to them and to basically suggest that if you're going to start something separate, instead of being in competition with us in the same area, we're not going to be in agreement and you're going to teach something else, why don't you go somewhere else? Well, that's what they did. They packed up and went to Iowa, to Dubuque, Iowa. And when Lea heard about all of this, he sent a letter to the Missouri Synod bordered in black, basically breaking all ties. It was a very unfortunate thing, but it was more than over the doctrine of the ministry. It was also a feeling of he was no longer in control of the institutions that were established here. And it's too bad he couldn't come and also see the distances and also experience that America was, and the frontier of America was very different from Germany.
So in time, and as the fruit of this debate, Walther, in his typical style, put together a set of ordered theses on both church and ministry. Kirche und Amt is the German name, and the Church and Ministry is the book that has come down to us, and it's eminently Waltherian. He makes a statement, and then he backs it up with Scripture, the Lutheran Confessions, Luther, and then his thousands upon thousands of theologians that he can name. Mm-hmm. What is the general thrust of that document that was, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, accepted by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in, I want to say, I might have my date wrong, but I think it's 1852 or 1857 as its official position.
Yeah, and actually it was 1851. And was first put forward the theses, and then Walther and Winneken went over to Germany, and then they had it published in Erlangen in Germany and first distributed there to represent their position. But the basic thrust is that the true church is all true believers in Christ, both here on earth and already in heaven, that because we cannot see in the hearts of people, it is invisible to us. Luther would probably have used the word hidden, but it is seen in its marks, the preaching of the word in its truth and purity and the administration of the sacraments rightly. And that word church is also given to visible groups, even heterodox ones, but it is only because of true believers in their midst, and believers are to obligated by God's word to hold to those gatherings around the word in its truth and purity and the right administration of the sacraments. The ministry is a distinct office from that of other believers, but it is not like the Levitical office of the Old Testament. It is an office of service, and to publicly preach the word and administer the sacraments. It is conferred by God, and he used the word Übertragen, transferred or conferred, through immediately through the congregation. The pastoral office has the right to judge doctrine and to be involved with ecclesiastical courts, but also laymen should be involved with judging doctrine and ecclesiastical courts. So that is a kind of a quick synopsis of church ministry.
These basic ideas about church and ministry, the basis upon which Walther set forth much of what he had to say to the church from that point on, the proper form of a Christian congregation and how the polity of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod eventually developed and changed, were in many ways shaped by that idea of church and ministry.
Yes, but it is not saying that this polity is the only one. He made that very clear in a presidential address to the Synodical Convention, and I believe it was in 1848, where, you know, he also maintained that the ministry was properly established in Sweden and in Germany and elsewhere, and that there are other ways to do this. The democratic polity that was established in the Missouri Synod, he felt was the best in a country where the church was not part of the state.
Finally, then, Dr. Walraby, recommend that, if you would. Why would it be beneficial, in fact, perhaps even needful today for confessional Lutherans in America to revisit Walther's conclusions, his theses on church and ministry?
Well, certainly so that we not only understand why we believe, teach, and confess what we do in our church body, but also so that we do not confuse. So, first of all, so that we do not try to put one above the other, church or ministry. It's not an either or, it's a both and they stand side by side. There will be tension in that, and those things are worked out in the polity of the church. And also, it's important to recognize that the polity is not commanded, but this is the best way that we have decided to do it in a democratic system. A democracy is the most inefficient form of government. Probably the most efficient is a benevolent dictatorship, but we don't have that. We have a democracy, and we have that kind of polity in our church body, and that is based on mutual agreement. And it's important to also revisit church and ministry to see that which is doctrine and that which is not. That which is part of the teaching of Scripture, and that which is those things that we're free to decide on, how best to govern the church and how best to organize, and that's based on human reason, sanctified human reason.
One quick final question. Walther would have said something that might sound contradictory to us. He would have said that the office of the ministry, the pastoral office, he would have called it the preaching office, is at the same time the highest office on earth, and one of complete and total service. How could he say that?
That's a paradox that he would say, because the pastoral office is the public office of the ministry, the full public office of the ministry, which was instituted by Christ through the apostles, and any other offices that the church may create voluntarily. That would include parochial school teachers, DCEs, deaconesses, deacons, any other offices that the church may create flow from that and serve that main office, that one foundational office. And yet that foundational office, the pastoral office, by which, according to Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the church is lacking if it doesn't have. It's not lacking if it has what's called an auxiliary office, a teacher or a deaconess, but it is lacking if it doesn't have a pastor. That office, which oversees the complete preaching of the word and administration of the sacraments, is an office of service. It is there to feed the believers, to foster the mission of the church in that local setting. And so it's both the highest office of the church and yet an office of service.
Dr. John Wohlrabi is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Geneseo, Illinois, and he is second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Wohlrabi, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Todd. God's blessings to you and the issues, etc.
When we come back, more CFW Walther. This next conversation with Dr. Thomas Manteuffel will focus on Walther and his response to the higher critical method, its low-view approach to Holy Scripture. As we wrap up our series today on CFW Walther, please help us educate a new generation of Lutherans by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Now, there are four different levels of membership, and membership benefits include premiums like t-shirts, books, show transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. We currently have 192 members, and we need 8 new members to reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by this Sunday, All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. Find out about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Join by this Sunday and help us get to that goal of 200 members in the Reformation Club. When we come back, Dr. Thomas Manteuffel of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will join us to wrap up our series on CFW Walther, talking about Walther versus the higher critics. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Stacy Krim was a single woman in Oklahoma when she found out she was pregnant. Shortly thereafter, she was diagnosed with head and neck cancer. Stacy declined treatment she feared might harm her unborn baby. She told her brother Ray, "If anything happens to me, you take this child." During the pregnancy, Stacy collapsed in her home. Doctors were forced to deliver the 2-pound infant, Dottie Mae, by an emergency cesarean. Stacy got to hold her daughter for the first and last time in the hospital. She died 3 days later. Ray fulfilled his promise to his sister. He took a healthy 5-pound Dottie Mae home with his wife and introduced her to 4 new siblings. And Stacy's protective bravery will be honored throughout the life of her daughter.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.